In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You know it's Advent when John the Baptizer makes his appearance in the lectionary. It just isn't Advent without this strange preacher of the Judean wilderness. His message can be summarized in a single word: repent. The reason is simple and straightforward. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. John was a prophetic voice. Isaiah foretold him, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. John was the road leveler, the bulldozer. He dressed as an Old Testament prophet, looking like Elijah. He wore a cloak of scratchy camel's hair. A locust leg stuck out between his teeth. His hands were sticky with wild honey, and his arms dotted with bee stings. A wild, unkempt, untamable man, not a company man, or what we would call today a team player. John was a prophet sent by God to Israel for a purpose, to prepare the way for Christ. John came out of the wilderness to call Israel back to the wilderness, back to the place where they were formed as a nation, back to the Jordan that had parted under their feet as they crossed into the promised land. John was a bridge between the old and the new, between the covenant of Abraham and Sinai and the new covenant about to come in Jesus. John had one foot in the old covenant and one foot in the new. He brought a new sacrament of the covenant, baptism, a washing with water for repentance and forgiveness of sins. That's how John prepared the people for the coming of the Messiah. He heard your confession and baptized you. That was how you heeded the call to repent. You confessed your sins and you were baptized by John. In the Old Covenant, you confess your sins to the priests and brought your sacrificial animal whose blood was shed in your place. John brought a new way, a washing with water and the promise of God to forgive with that washing. The people flocked to John from all over Jerusalem and Judea and the whole region around the Jordan. John drew attention from the religious authorities, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He was especially hard on these religious types, those who thought they were in because they kept the Torah and could claim Abraham as their father. They were interested in John's baptism, but certainly not in his call to repentance. They didn't need to repent, or so they thought. They were the religious leaders, the keepers of the Torah, the pure and holy. Not like all those sinners flocking around John there in the Jordan. But John would have none of it. He minced no words. He didn't care if anyone was offended. He called them a brood of vipers, a bunch of snakes. He urged them to repent not only with their lips, but with their lives, bearing fruit in keeping with their repentance. What would John say to us if he were here today? What would John say if he stood in this pulpit and preached to you this morning? First, you'd have to get past his looks and probably his smell. But you'd listen, I'm sure. And what you'd hear is the call to repent, to be changed in your mind, literally to drop dead to yourself and your sin and rise out of baptism a new man, a new woman in Christ. John would say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. He would urge the unbaptized to baptism and the baptized to confession. If anyone started waving their credentials about how they'd been a Lutheran their entire life or were a seminary prof or were giving up a lucrative career in another profession in order to be formed as a pastor or a deaconess, John would say, repent, you brood of vipers. If you started to brag about your works and all the progress you think you were making in your walk, John would say, not good enough. Repent. He would call us to repent of our comfortable complacency, our convenient religion, our what's the least I have to do mentality, our religious pride, all the ways we poke at the speck in others' eyes while we have a 2x4 sticking out of our own eyes. John would remind us of the urgency of the end times, how the axe is already laid at the root of the tree, how fruitless trees are cut down and burned in the fire. If you wanted to know what the fruits of repentance look like, John would tell you. If you have 2 coats, save one and share the other. If you have more food than you need, share it with those who are hungry. He would point to the 10 Commandments and say, this is what the fruit of repentance looks like. To fear, love, and trust in God. To honor His name and His word in worship. To honor parents and others in authority. To help your neighbor in his physical needs. To live sexually pure lives. To help your neighbor protect his property. And to be content with what you have. John would remind you that these are the fruits of repentance. What happens when the Word of God has its way with you? But these are not repentance. Repentance is confessing your sin, no matter how good you think you are. Admitting that even your best works are shot through with sin and covered with the greasy fingerprints of the old Adam. John would turn you from yourself to Jesus. You must decrease, Jesus must increase. Jesus is the one to watch for, hope for, wait for, expect. His is a death that can save you. His is the life that brings you perfection and holiness before God. He is the Lamb of God who takes away your sin and the sin of the world. Trust Jesus, not yourself. John would remind you of your baptism. He was, after all, John the Baptizer. He would remind you that you are privileged to have received the greater baptism from the greater one. You have been baptized into the death of Jesus, the incarnate Son of God. Having been baptized, you are clothed with Jesus, with his seamless robe of righteousness. Not the camel hair of the wilderness, but a garment of perfection that covers all of your sin and its shame and wraps you in a wedding suit for an endless wedding party of the Lamb in his kingdom. Your wilderness food is not locusts and wild honey, but living bread come from heaven to feed you with his own body. Wine from heaven is your drink, the lifeblood of Christ who died for you and was raised that you might live in him and he in you. The Lord's Supper is your wilderness food that will keep you as the manna kept the Israelites in their day until you set foot into the promised land of resurrection and life. John would warn us that the winnowing fork stands ready in Jesus' hand. The cross that winnows faith and unbelief, ready to gather the faithful wheat into his barn and pitch the unbelieving chaff into the eternal fire. John would remind us that we may never presume in smug security, but must cling in repentant faith to the promise of mercy in Jesus every day of our lives, constantly and continually using Jesus as our mediator and redeemer. As Luther said it in the first of his 95 theses, when our Lord Jesus Christ said, repent, he willed the entire life of the Christian to be one of repentance. You wouldn't like John very much, but John wouldn't much care about that. But you would be thankful for him. And that's what God would have us hear. The truth, the awful truth, that we are always in need of repentance because we are at the heart and core sinners. And the awful truth that the axe of God's judgment was laid on the shoot from the stump of Jesse. Jesus, the fruitful branch of David's family tree, was treated as a fruitless tree, cut down and cursed on the tree of the cross, thrown into the fire of God's wrath against your sin in order to save you from the coming wrath at the end. You and I, as the church of God, are that prophetic voice calling in the wilderness today. The church is John the Baptizer of the end times, urging people to repentance and baptism, preparing the way for the Lord's final advent in glory. To the world, our being clothed with Jesus' righteousness may seem as strange as John's camel hair cloak. The Lord's Supper of Christ's body and blood, our wilderness food, may as well as be locusts and wild honey to those accustomed to a more civilized diet of vague spirituality and sweet sentimentality. As Christians, we are as strange to this world as John the Baptizer was in his day. The message, though, to the world is the same as John's. Repent, be baptized, believe, for the kingdom of heaven is near. The kingdom of heaven is coming, where wolf and lamb, leopard and goat, cow and bear, the carnivore and the herbivore live together without killing each other, where a tiny child is safe playing with the cobra. It is a peaceable kingdom coming of King David's greater son, the branch of Jesse's roots, our Savior Jesus. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight. The kingdom is near. Christ is near. In the name of Jesus, amen.